Welcome to Kicking It with KPOC, a podcast about business stories and marketing advice. I'm Jake.
And I'm Morella.
And this is episode 24, Top 7 Ways to Not Waste Money on Digital Marketing. Today, Morella and I will be talking about some of the most important things to avoid in digital marketing. Let's jump right into our list of ways not to waste money on your digital marketing efforts.
I know. Let's say it again. Not waste money.
Do not waste money on digital marketing.
Right.
But that doesn't mean there's not things that you can't do with digital marketing. We're just going to go through the ways that some people do. So I'm going to start with number one, which is search engine optimization. It's a big buzzword out there. A lot of people want to rank higher organically with Google, so they invest in search engine optimization. The problem you can run into is there's a lot of different people offering SEO services. So you got to be careful with who you go with to get the services. There's the white hat people, black hat people, gray hat in the middle. And you really have to understand what the person you're hiring is doing for you to make sure that you're getting a good return on your investment with your SEO. So a lot of people, it takes a little while to see the return. So some people will try and trick you by, you know, collecting money for months, telling you, oh, we're going to see the results in the future. And that's true, but they're not really doing anything.
Yeah. And I remember back in the day when I was in school at USF, we had a case study about JCPenney, how they got into a lot of trouble with hiring some type of a company that promised that they were going to rank them. I think was it for a little black dress or
dresses? What was it?
Dresses or something, whatever the case was. And I think JCPenney ended up paying a lot of money to get to, you know, the number one spot in organic search for this dress. And it worked for a little bit. And then I think Google realized that JCPenney was somehow gaming the system. And then they blacklisted them. And then for months, JCPenney just was kind of blacklisted. And they were not showing up in search results.
They were on page two or three, I think. Previously, they were ranking number one for keywords like dresses. They basically paid someone to just link a whole bunch of websites to their website using the word dress as the link that you would click on. And that's one of the ways that you can get to the top. But if you do, if you don't follow Google's rules, then like what happened with JCPenney, you end up penalized.
Yeah.
So you really want to make sure what these people are doing, and it's going to really help you. And the other thing sometimes if you get into really shady people is they, when you say you want to quit, then they'll threaten you with doing negative SEO.
Ooh, that's good. It's kind of savage.
But if you quit now, like we're gonna penalize you. And it doesn't often work, but still the threat can be difficult for a small business owner to contend with. And they have to decide whether they want to keep wasting money on it. Or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, so I guess the bottom line is, as I think Judge Judy says this, or I don't know, someone says it, like, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. If someone comes to you and says, you know, give me $1,000 and I'm going to guarantee that you show up on page one on Google, it's probably a red flag.
Anyone who guarantees results in SEO for a fixed amount of money is probably lying to you, because it's always changing and you have to really stay up to date on your game if you're gonna stay ranked highly.
Exactly, which brings us to the next point of websites and how you can end up spending so much money on building a website that you don't really need or that doesn't really suit your needs. And sometimes you think, okay, well, here's this person who is approaching me and can build me a website for $1,000. Like, that sounds like an amazing deal. Like, I should just do it. But you kind of find out that, okay, maybe this website doesn't have all of the features that I need or that I want, but the price is right, so I might as well just do it, and then maybe down the road I will do an upgrade and I will make this website more amazing. So then, you know, you get your $1,000 website. Obviously, maybe you wanted to sell stuff online, but your new website doesn't have an e-commerce component, but you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to suck it up and, you know, I still have a website. I'll get my e-commerce in the next phase. The next phase comes, you add a little bit more features, but it's still not what you want. And then you think, okay, I'll just add it in the next phase. So you just keep doing this website in increments. And then you realize at the end of it, oh my God, I just have like a hodgepodge of crap, really. And my website still doesn't have a cohesive look. It still doesn't do what I wanted to do. But I have spent so much money that now I can't really hire a professional to give me a website that I want because I've already put so much money in.
Yeah, it's kind of like a car almost. You know, you could buy a Honda, you can buy a BMW, you can buy a Ferrari, but it's really hard to turn your Honda into a BMW or to turn the BMW into the Ferrari. And if you did hire someone to make the modifications or whatever, you'd end up spending more money doing all those modifications than buying all three of the cars. And yeah. It's kind of similar with the websites. Like, you're going to be paying people a lot more to be incrementally improving it than to just plan out exactly what your website should entail and making sure that you get what you want. And mm-hmm. you can add things in the future. You should really just plan it out and make sure you're not wasting money by just, you know, doing it in a weird way.
Yeah, and we come across these situations often. Someone comes to us and said, you know, my nephew built this website for me. And then I actually found someone on a website online and they added this other phase to my website. And now I want you guys to just add more to it and clean it up.
Yeah, it's hard.
And at that point, like, Jake, you get really upset at that point. You're like, oh, we can't be cleaning this up. This is a mess. And I myself, I'm kind of a website simpleton. I don't know like how the back end works. I always think like, well, why can't we just go and clean it up a little bit?
I don't think that I get upset with people. I just have to explain to them that if your cousin or your nephew made the website, unless they happen to be a professional website designer or developer, they probably didn't take many things into account that should have been taken into account. So it's not so much a cleaning up as it is an overhaul. You know, imagine if you asked that same person to build you a car. They're just not going to think about, you know, necessarily the things that a professional would. And so it's just going to be a bigger job to clean it up than to start from scratch in most cases.
Yeah.
So, and this kind of rolls into number three, which is a lack of strategy. When you don't strategize with something, whether it's a website, whether it's SEO, whether it's anything in business, really, but especially in digital marketing, without the strategy, you can end up wasting a lot of money. When you do things like with the website, like where you do it in increments, but you're not thinking about the increments or how the increments will work. Like, if you're going to do it in phases, you need to make sure you have a strategy for how it's going to work and make sure that a professional has explained that strategy is a good strategy, or whether you've done your research and learned that it is a viable thing to make this website and then add the e-commerce component later, or if you're running ads that, you know, whatever the case is, just make sure you have a strategy. We've talked about before how I think half of businesses fail within the first 5 years. And the number one reason that businesses fail is a lack of strategy or unwillingness to shift from a strategy that's not working.
Yes. And what we have noticed that a few people have do or they do, and it's common, and sometimes we suffer from this a little bit too, is just chasing shiny objects mm-hmm. and shiny ideas because they seem so exciting. And sometimes when you are in the middle of doing what you're doing and you're feeling like, oh my God, nothing is working out, like something has to give, and then like the shiny thing shows up, you're like, oh my God, like maybe this will solve all of my problems. And which sometimes the shiny objects can work out and you can, you know, make it rain overnight and become a success. But most of the time, they're just distractions. And if you don't have a strategy in place and you don't really have a vision in terms of where you want to go, then you're more likely to fall for those side distractions. And then, you mm-hmm. know, by the next, I guess, time you think about things is the end of the year and you're like, oh my God, what did I do all year?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions and fears that people have with strategies too is like, I don't want to commit to the strategy because what if it doesn't work? But that's not really what you're doing when you're doing a strategy. You're strategizing what you think is the best course of action now.
Right.
But you should definitely change if a few months or years down the road you think a new strategy is better. Having a strategy is just about constantly thinking about what's the best course of action and sticking with it until you have new evidence or ideas that support changing your strategy and migrating to this new, better strategy that you've thought of.
Right. It's definitely not a set in stone, set it and forget it. You know, you're locked in. Like if whatever you decide to do on January 1, you have to be doing it on September 9th or whatever the case is. No. If you decide that you're going to do something on January 1 and then June 1 comes around and you're looking at your stuff and you realize this is not working, then you should change course.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not forever locked in.
For sure. So what's our next?
Which this brings us to the next black hole of potential to waste money on digital marketing, and that's online ads. And more specifically, we should talk about the most popular online ads, which are Google ads, Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And I think the good and bad of online ads like Google ads and Facebook ads is the good is that they're very effective and you can do a lot and the barrier to entry is very low. Mm-hmm. The bad is that you can do a lot and the barrier to entry is low and you can pretty much go in there as a novice and just throw a whole bunch of money at these campaigns and feel like, oh my God, I'm making stuff happen. I'm running campaigns, like things are, I must be doing well. I'm spending a ton of money. Well, if you don't know what you're doing, Google will take your money.
Yeah.
And it will not always bring you the results that you want, especially if you don't even tell Google what you want mm-hmm. from Google. Like, Google will always take money.
Yeah, and I don't think Google's doing anything wrong.
No.
They're just, you have to go really research and read and learn about how it works. And they make it very easy, but it's not necessarily simple to do it well.
Right.
They have, like, things that pop up. It's like, oh, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And you're like, of course, I want to do whatever you guys say is a good idea. But unless you really understand what is going to happen when you click all those buttons, you can end up wasting a lot of money if you haven't told Google ahead of time, like, okay, this is what a conversion means to me. Like, this is
right.
how much money I make when that happens. Let's make sure that we're only running ads that are going to yield a positive return on investment. Unless you know how to set it up, it might not work out well for you.
And you also need to know how much money you should be spending mm-hmm. on your conversions. If you bring a customer and you spent $2,000 to acquire that customer, but that customer only spends $100 with you, is that really the best mm-hmm. way to spend your money? No. And so you have to know all these things. And the other common thing that we have noticed with some businesses is that they will not set up their ad campaigns where Google ads are not showing up when someone searches for their name. So if someone already knows your name and they're searching for you, your ad shouldn't be showing. They shouldn't mm-hmm. be clicking on your ad.
In most cases, if they have a competitor that's running an ad against their brand name, then they might need to run
right.
ads. But it's definitely something that can waste a lot of money
yes.
if you're not very careful about it.
Yes.
And it's just one of those things that unless you've done the research and you know all of those pitfalls, you're going to fall into them.
Exactly. And then the Facebook boost my post situation mm-hmm. is like, it's so easy. Like, you post something and Facebook's like, do you want to boost it? Like, yeah, I want to boost it. Yeah. And then like 5 minutes, you're like, oh my God, my $20 is gone. Like, yeah. what did I get out of this?
Yeah. And sometimes you should boost posts, but it needs to be part of that strategy. You
right.
need to have decided ahead of time, like, does this work? Does it not work?
Right.
And I think, speaking of Facebook, this is number 5 is paying gurus a lot of money. A lot of them advertise on Facebook.
The gurus, the ninjas, the masters, yeah. I don't know.
Rock stars.
The rock stars. I don't know. The list goes on. So yeah. tell us about them.
A lot of them have a lot of good knowledge that you can learn from them. And you should learn from them if it makes sense for you. The problem that you can run into is when that's all you're doing. You're paying ninjas and gurus money constantly, taking their classes and just learning and becoming an expert marketer yourself. You need to be executing on what you learn. And
right.
you need to only be buying from people who actually are teaching you things that you can execute on. And if you're in that situation where you're really learning things and you're going and executing on those techniques, then that's great. There's also plenty of free information that you probably should take advantage of first. And if you are getting good information, like I said, you know, execute on it then. Just don't get stuck in a trap where you're constantly paying, you know, experts more and more money to learn about more and more things that you never utilize.
Yeah, I kind of just like realized that the ninjas are essentially teaching you to become a ninja.
But well, that's like next level ninja.
Right, but like you don't need to be a ninja. Like, is your goal to start having your own ninja classes?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, a lot of them, I've watched some of their stuff, and like a lot of them are not giving you anything tangible. Mm-hmm. All they're saying, 6 figures, 7 figures, mm-hmm. look at my Ferrari. I'm like, I'm so like low-key humble, but like I'm so wealthy. And then, but at the end of the day, when you really think about it, like what have you learned? Like what can you do from all these things that they've told you to actually like execute and actually accomplish your goals? Like, okay, you're learning how to become a ninja. Do you want to be a ninja?
Yeah. What's the best, you know, thing for you to be doing? Is it becoming a ninja or not? And some, it probably follows the 80-20 rule. You know, there's probably 80% of them who are doing totally wasting your money. And then there's 20% of people who have real good educational material and they just need to make a living. So they're charging for it. I think the biggest takeaway here in terms of not wasting money is just don't be spending money on stuff you're not using.
Yeah. Like if, like you should maybe, I'm not saying don't try any of these ninja classes. Like, well, before you buy them, like search on YouTube to make sure that they're like not free. And then if you do decide to buy one of these Marketing Ninja classes, definitely pay attention to how many you're buying. If it's like day seven and you're on your seventh ninja class and you are like falling for all of the one-time offers, then you may have fallen victim to the ninja situation and you're just like in their sales funnel.
If you look at your expenses at the end of the year and you spend more money on marketing classes than on marketing, you're doing something wrong.
Like you have a problem. Yeah. Like you need to go to like ninja, like ninja, Anonymous or whatever situation. Which, I mean,
NA, Ninja Anonymous, not Narcotics Anonymous.
Right. Like, it can spiral out of control because a lot of the ninja courses are very feel good. And a lot of them seem like they're like people next door. Like, oh my God, this guy has like his wife and his kid. He seems to be very normal. Like, you know, he's telling me how the day before, like a month before, he was like strung out on drugs. And now, like, he found this power of marketing, and now he's, like, a legitimate businessman. Like, I want to, like, how did he do it?
And I'm not saying that anyone's doing this, but go on Google, and you can get a mansion on Airbnb, you can rent a luxury car, you can get a film crew and pretend like you're living in a mansion very cheaply.
So
don't trust everything you see on the internet.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot to be a perceived ninja or to call yourself a ninja. And I guess we should get into the next point.
Number six.
Which is about having realistic timelines and goals and tracking everything that you are doing. If you don't know what's working, then you cannot decide whether or not to do more of it or less of it. So make sure that you also understand that different marketing efforts have different, I guess, timelines and different, they require a different amount of time for you to realize your result, and they have different return of on investment. And for example, if you're running a 2-week discount, like coupon special, those results are going to be more instant. Like people take the coupon, they redeem it, you're like, bam, bam, I see like how many people use this. If you're running the branding campaign or something that's more, that's less tangible, then that's going to take a longer period of time. And but if you're not tracking any of it, then you could be wasting most of your money. You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, track it and realize when do you need to see that return on investment.
Right.
Return on investment in and of itself doesn't have a time horizon. It's just how much money will this investment eventually return to me. But if I'm starting a business and I have enough cash to, you know, maybe run for 2 years, I need to figure out what kind of things are going to give me that return in that amount of time. You know, branding might have 3, 4, 5 year time horizon. Direct response marketing is probably going to be months.
Right.
So think about all of that when you're determining both, you know, is this going to give me a return on investment? And is it going to give me that return in the time that I need it to?
Exactly. And if you don't fully understand what the appropriate return on investment is, then you might deem something as useless. If you say, well, like, I did a sponsorship with a local sports team and like my sales have not improved at all. Well, maybe that's not really the realistic thing to expect from that sponsorship. Maybe branding was the big thing to expect from that. So you can't deem it as useless. It's just, it's not getting you the results that you wanted, but maybe that's really not a realistic expectation to have from that type of.
Like we were talking about earlier with the digital ads, if you don't, if you haven't told Google and Facebook what your conversion is and how much it's worth to you, how can you expect them to know whether you know whether it's going to yield a return on investment for you that works?
Yeah, you just don't know. You don't know what you don't know, and before you start running any campaign, think about what do I want to accomplish from this. How long will it take for me to realize this accomplishment? And how much is this going to cost me?
And if you don't think about that, that's where you're going to get the wasted money. you're going to not even know if it's wasted or not. You're going to have done stuff. You didn't track it. You don't know if you wasted money or not. And 9 out of 10 times you've wasted money if you don't know if you've wasted money.
Exactly. And you can't go in with wishful thinking and saying like, oh, this is going to be a magic pill. It's going to like alleviate all my problems and I'm going to wake up and things are going to be amazing. And which kind of reminds me that I forgot to mention something when I talked about websites and how you can end up wasting a lot of money on websites. And one of the things that we always tell people is to always try to get the website that you need and not the website that you can that is the cheapest. And same with all of your goals and tracking, like everything needs to be realistic. You can't just be kind of like half doing it, but hoping that you're going to get the most amazing results.
Yeah. With the website, I say figure out what you need from your website and then figure out your budget for the website and see how those two relate. And then you can make the hard decision about what you need to do.
Right. It's like you have to, it's not, marketing is not like magic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of behind the scenes of crunching numbers and planning and goal setting and all of that stuff that most of us don't like to do because it makes you feel uncomfortable and it's hard work, but it has to be done.
For sure.
And so the final step?
The final one, number 7. So opportunity cost. A big misconception. People think if I'm working, then I'm getting stuff done. But every single thing you choose to do as a business owner or really anyone at a business, there's an opportunity cost. You're not doing all of the other things that you could be doing every time you choose to do something.
Right.
So you need to make sure the things that you're choosing are the best use of your time. Is there someone else that could be doing this instead that could do it, you know, faster than me? Maybe they're more experienced, so they're going to get it done faster. Or maybe it's just an entry-level task that's better suited for someone who's just getting started at your company. Mm-hmm. As the higher up you get, as you're the business owner, you should be doing the highest level tasks because presumably you're running the business. So
exactly. And at KPOC Marketing, or me actually personally, I believe that everyone should be doing the things that they enjoy the most and that they're the best at. And if you are, you know, spending time doing things that you don't really enjoy, let's say that marketing is not your cup of tea, but you're a business owner and you think that you need to have all these multiple hats and you need to become a marketing expert, well, you're becoming a marketing expert at the expense of neglecting other areas of your business that you're really good at and you could be actually taking way further. So you should definitely think about that.
I think it ties in with the return on investment thing, right, and the tracking. You need to be thinking about how is what I'm doing going to ultimately generate revenue, especially as a business owner, because I think that's one of the biggest responsibilities of the people at the top of the business is making sure that the business stays in business and that everyone can get paid. And that means, is what I'm doing going to eventually generate revenue? Is it going to generate the most amount of revenue?
Right.
Or am I reducing expenses? Those are the most important things. And at the top, those are the sort of things that you really need to be thinking about. If you're doing stuff that's not in furtherance of that, then you're falling victim of not paying attention to what the opportunity cost of what you're doing is.
Yeah. And all this stuff is hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy to run a business and own a business and stay on top of everything. But if you don't, then you'll end up wasting a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of time, which is also money, and getting frustrated and nothing good happens from that.
Yeah, for sure. So you definitely need to pay attention to all of those things.
All right. Well, I think that completes our list. Hopefully we put out some golden nuggets for people to learn from. And I think that's all I have.
And with that, I think that's it. It's been a great 24th episode, and definitely do feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about today or marketing in general. You can visit us on our website, kickingitwithkpoc.com, or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as KPOC Marketing. This has been Kicking It with KPOC, brought to you by KPOC Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll have something just as great for you next time.